Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight's episode of Ready to Unload with Cal and Sanpete is sponsored by Blue Haven NYC in Greenwich Village, New York City's sports bar for grown-ups. Go to www.bluehavennyc.com for details.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're tonight's entertainment.
Let me explain. No, there is too much. Let me sum up.
Johnny and the Mothers are playing something at the Savoy in Vermont tonight.
Grandma's gonna kill my brother at the Savoy Theater tonight.
I didn't say that.
No, but I know this grapevine.
Why would I put it there?
Kindness?
Kindness? Kindness? You stole it! He stole it!
We have top men working on it right now.
Who? Top men.
Hello there, and welcome to Ready to Unload with Cal and Sanpete, New York Sports Talk Podcast, episode number 160. It is January the 16th, 2014. It is 9:30 p.m. We are coming to you live from Bayside, New York, Commack, New York, and Freehold, New Jersey, the traffic jam capital of the world. Oops, I think it's time to have a little traffic jam. Yes, it's Ready to Unload with Cal and Sanpete. Hi. Talking New York sports, it's 9:30, let's do this. It's Thursday night, let's do this. I am one of your hosts, Steve Sanpietro, also known as Sanpete. To everyone around, hey, happy Thursday. We're in the midst of winter. And things are getting crazy. We have a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about A-Rod. We have to. I have a take. Cal has a take. PJ has an opinion. PJ's going to opine. We're going to talk about Rex Ryan getting an extension, a Rextension, just so we can say Rextension a bunch. And I don't know if you guys knew this, but they moved the NFL draft to May. Nobody told me. Nobody sent me a memo, not a note, not a fax. It is now Thursday, May the 8th. I want to talk about this. This is big. This is big news. And then PJ has job news. The Bishop has job news. Very exciting. Big announcement a-coming. So let's get to all of this. Ready to Unload with Cal and Sanpete, episode number 160. Here is the co-host of the program, Mr. Brian Calneva Calpino. Let's bring him in.
Cal.
Direct from Nova Scotia. Yep. Uh-huh. Yep. My partner in crime, my partner in crime, my partner in all things, things sublime. Just Frank out. I don't get it. Hi, Cal.
Nice, Steve.
I lost it there at the end.
I know you did.
Mr. Brian, can I even get everything? Something Italian. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
How are you?
All right.
How are you? You're looking well. You have a collared shirt on. Are we going somewhere?
We're classing up the joint.
Are we?
Yeah, not really.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure at all.
Because I'm in my pajamas. I am. It's late.
I wish I could be in my pajamas.
In these parts. Oh, hey, the Oscar nominations were today.
The noms?
Yeah, the noms. So we're going to do our fourth annual We Didn't See Any of These Movies. Let's become a regular show here on RTU. We'll talk about that maybe in the fun load.
Maybe.
Yeah. How come you're all dressed up? What time's the prom?
I am not all dressed up. I just haven't dressed down yet.
Oh, I see.
From the day.
It's not casual Thursdays at the couch?
No.
So,
no?
You can't wear jeans? It's rough. It's rough over there.
They'll send you right down to HR.
The kids are in skirts.
Yeah.
And blouses. Wow, why did I just say that like Christopher Mad Dog Russo?
Blouses?
They're in blouses? You know, you really should consider dress down day there at the Calvi household.
Well, I'll tell you, we've tried it. And unfortunately, people took advantage of it, and we lost it.
Allison was wearing fishnet stockings.
It went a little too far. Yeah.
Appropriate.
You know, nobody is responsible enough to to handle it on a mature level.
Yeah. You were wearing your favorite sweatshirt there, your little half shirt.
It was a coconut bra and a grass skirt. And somehow that did not fall under the auspices of casual Thursday.
Are dress down Fridays still allowed at the Calvi household?
Fridays are fine. Thursdays, not so much.
So the coconut bra on Friday, no problem.
It's perfectly acceptable.
Anything goes.
Anything.
Even the hula skirt.
Especially the hula skirt.
Yes.
How are you?
Can you wear a kimono on dress down Friday, on casual Friday?
It depends.
On the design?
On a lot of things.
All right.
Maybe
all right,
the
sir.
Month.
All right, sir.
A lot of it has to do with the weather.
Sure.
The temperature.
We're in the year of the dragon, perhaps. What are we in the year of? Do you know what it is?
This is the year of the squirrel.
No, it's not. Stop making up things.
I don't know if it is.
You said that with such conviction.
I feel like it could be. Isn't it? Isn't it always either the dog, the dragon, or the rat?
Right. It's one of those three.
It's just a rotating...
It rotates around.
It's like which network is airing the Super Bowl. It just spins around a couple times.
Each animal gets the new year once every 3 years.
Right.
I hear the horse.
It's the year of the horse. There he is. Hi, the bishop. How are you? You can come in now. I mean, if
all
you
right,
want
I'm back.
And they're going to make an entrance, huh?
There he is.
He's
the producer of the program. He's an ordained.
Nobody can play this at home, TJ. This is all you, buddy.
He's an ordained something.
I am ordained in the Church of the Absurd.
Ah, but are you preordained?
You'd have to ask those who came before me. You gave me an idea last week when you said this might be a cover of Fearless, because we should really stop using this version, even though we used only a couple of seconds of it.
Right.
Maybe I should do a cover version of Fearless, and it would be my intro music. Wouldn't that be great?
That's a fantastic idea.
And
by the way,
this is the first time I'm on video with you guys, and since you got these new microphones, you both look ridiculous.
These
microphones are bigger than your heads.
I think what you mean to say is ridiculously awesome.
You look like you're talking into a headlight. What is going on?
Is it 1940s radio hour-ish enough for you?
Yes, exactly. I'm waiting for like a live radio show with sound effects and the whole story and...
You know what I want to do with this mic? Cal and I got these blue snowball microphones that are great, you know, for low-level podcasting. They're really, really good.
That's the level we're at.
That's a comfortable level.
An appropriate level. Low.
RTU, Sports Talk Radio at a low level. That's the next T-shirt.
Worst tagline ever. We really need some new blood in the marketing department.
We are the flat line. We're the flat line of sports talk.
With a picture of the three of us just shrugging. Low level.
What are you going to do?
What else
there
do you
want? We're talking sports and stuff. Not at a high level. No, I meant audio-wise, like without an ISDN line. And did I say that right?
With
did,
ISDN.
Thank you.
Said that like a professional.
Without an ISDN line and without being able to move off of Blog Talk Radio just yet, these microphones are definitely improving our sound. However, I feel like Brian Setzer every time I step up to one, because I just want to sing something about, you know, Go Johnny Go.
That's what it is. You should be wearing a Gretsch guitar.
you know what I love?
By 40 old musicians.
I love when you make fun of Blog Talk Radio, like we're David Letterman making fun of General Electric. Like, that's like the cool thing. You make fun of your boss. And they're not our boss. Let's be honest.
But they are our broadcaster.
Make no mistake about it.
Hey, Stefani.
There's no question.
Stefani.
They're not our boss. But it's just funny when you bring it up.
It really is. And I say it all the time now, like I rip on them mercilessly.
We're so passive-aggressive towards Blog Talk Radio.
As we're broadcasting over their very airwaves. That's a perfect analogy, the Letterman and NBC. Hey, Blog Talk Radio. What do you think of that, Paul? See what I did there?
Great.
It's great. It's a great day. Did you guys watch
Letterman?
Jump
on the piano. You want a little Paul Schaefer?
Please don't jump on
the piano. Sure. Do you have one near you?
That piano's not insured. That piano's
absolutely
not insured.
Come on.
Where'd he go?
He went to jump on the
piano. Block Talk Radio. Oh, Block Talk Radio. Block Talk. Okay.
That's a good song, Paul. That was, by the way, that was perfectly Paul Schaefer. That's exactly what he would do.
I know.
And then, wait, you have to hold up your hand and cut off Anton Figg.
Well, that's just it. I had no drummer.
He's not there.
Block Talk Radio. Shh. With the cymbals way up high because he's Anton Figg.
And right after that third chord, actually the cat nearly knocked me over. That's why that rendition stopped. I got tripped by a cat.
Were you guys big Letterman fans? Like old? Really?
Yes.
Please expand on this. Please expound on this. Please expunge something.
Cat's here.
Please X something. No, seriously, expand on this. I was half and half. Were you like a – Cal, you were every night with Letterman, really?
No, not every night. Not like PJ. But I followed him. I knew what was going on.
Okay.
Late in his NBC run. Not early. Not when we were nine.
No.
I wasn't staying up to watch Andy Kaufman.
That's right. You didn't say you didn't see Rick Lawler. Rick Lawler? Is it Rick?
Rick.
It's Lawler.
Jerry.
Jerry Lawler.
Oh, the wrestler.
Yes.
Jerry Lawler.
Well,
yes.
You went Kaufman, I went Jerry Lawler.
I thought he was talking about the producer, Rick Lawler.
I seem to remember sort of being around 9th or 10th grade, a big fan.
Yeah, that's kind of when he became part of our awareness.
Which would be like 89, 90.
Sounds about right.
He's still in NBC.
I was with Letterman from his morning show.
Oh, what did you do there?
We were... I was a showrunner.
I didn't know you were...
We were, like, first family in all of Staten Island to get a VCR. So we had a VCR, like, since, like, 77. I mean, it was crazy. I don't know where my dad got it.
Was it
like
really
big? It was gigantic, a gigantic top loader.
It looked like the computer in War Games.
Yes, it was absolutely enormous. And it had a remote on a cord.
Oh, yeah. Our first VCR had a remote on a cord as well.
Yeah, and it was mono, and you changed the station with a dial.
Yep.
And the whole thing. And Letterman started his morning show. My mom used to tape it, and I would watch it when I got home from school.
Wow.
And then we were really sad when he got taken off the air. And then he Now, again, I don't know why my mom thought that it was okay for me to watch it, but she thought I would find it funny, and I did. I was a huge fan.
You were like seven.
Yes.
Wow.
I think I was in first grade when he had the morning one. And then late night started, and we just kept taping it. And so we would watch it every night. You know,
the day after.
Later.
Right.
Yeah.
Holy cow. So you really, some people say they were ground floor. You were ground floor.
We were ground floor. We
Wow.
We watched all of them, all the crazy characters, and Chris Elliott and Larry Bud Melman and all those people coming through.
This is not going to be a podcast about Letterman, but it changed the landscape. I mean, it really did change the landscape. I think, we've talked about
I didn't know what the landscape was, because I never saw anything else from late night for years.
But see, I did, because my grandmother used to watch Carson every night. My grandmother
started Carson about sixth grade.
Now, she watched The Tonight Show every night, so the first thing I watched was The Tonight Show. Like probably when I was 11 or 12 years old. But we've talked about this before, and the amazing thing is, like, can either of you guys remember when it changed from watching Letterman live, like watching it at 12:30 at night,
like when it changed to watching him live?
Yeah, like when you made that switch, because I would say I probably did that in 9th, 10th, 11th grade. Like I would watch it nightly at 12:30.
Well, that was around the time that I was starting to stay up for Saturday Night Live.
Exactly.
So now I
was training your body.
I was introduced to the late night television.
Yeah.
At that point.
I think I see.
Arsenio.
I stayed up late for Saturday Night Live early.
Chevy Chase's
show.
Right. He had one. Thick of the Night.
Thick of the Night, which we've talked about.
Right.
Never a fan. I'm sorry.
I did not care for the Joan Rivers program. I'm just going to put that out there right now.
I'll let her know. She's going to be very disappointed.
Not a fan.
Very
no.
disappointed.
Bold tonight.
He is bold. He's like a barbecue sauce of some sort. He's bold and tangy.
I was given a mostly broken black and white TV. Right around, when do you get confirmation? 7th grade?
12, right?
Yeah.
Isn't Julia coming up on that?
13.
Is it 13?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah,
that's 8th grade.
That's a perfect time for you to take on all the guilt. That's the best time for it. You're really ready then. You've probably sinned a little bit. You're in good shape then.
I was allowed to stay up and watch The Honeymooners, which were on... At 11 on 11.
Oh, yes. Channel 11 at 11. Yep.
So then my parents would go to bed and assume, of course, that I turned off the TV, but I wouldn't. And that's when I started late night viewing. Honeymooners into The Tonight Show, into Letterman, into, why are you always so tired in the morning? And I had no explanation.
Right.
Well, you had an explanation. You just didn't use it.
I would not let that one out. No.
You were up doing your homework. You were up doing all sorts of homework and studying and cramming for the SATs and also listening to speed metal. And that last one is true. Never mind.
Yeah. Inevitably, if I was up doing something, it was usually around the stereo making mixtapes.
Yes.
Quietly through
mixtapes. Oh, mixtapes.
Making some mixtapes for people while The Honeymooners were on.
We need an entire podcast on mixtapes.
Yeah.
I believe there's a movie. It's called...
Mixtape?
No. No, I was actually going to say, what's the Cusack movie there? The
Fidelity?
Thank you. High Fidelity? Is that the French?
Yes.
Or that's the Cajun version of that movie, yes. Half a Delta. Remember that guy?
Which one?
The Cajun cook.
He wasn't the Raging Cajun, was he?
No.
I just assume every Cajun is the Raging Cajun. Just like I assume anybody named Jake is Jake the Snake.
Well, they immediately become Jake the Snake, especially if they're in sports. I mean, if they're in sports,
right.
That's it. You have no choice in that nickname.
Right.
If your name is Jake, you're immediately Jake the Snake. Sorry.
There was an article that just came out, I think it was through the Huffington Post, where they referenced him, the Cajun cook, mm-hmm. and said that he was a former stand-up comic. But I didn't know that.
He was hilarious.
The Raging Cajun show was a second life. Oh, I think Pete's back, if you want to pick that up and try it.
He had a, I'm not sure if we're ready for Pete. he had a very tight 7 minutes, I'm sure. Mostly probably about being Cajun, if I had to guess.
What food?
What his material was on.
Right. The bayou.
Cooking with a paddle. Do you remember he used to cook with a paddle?
Yeah, of course. Onion, garlic, paprika. Mm-hmm. Bring that guy. That guy was the grandfather of the Food Network food celebrity. They should all be paying that. They should be paying that guy.
Sure, and the Frugal Gourmet. Remember him?
Yes, of course. Being frugal myself, of course.
And the gourmet.
Really?
And
did you
not
watch him for frugality advice? Was that why you had him on?
That's correct. At age 7, I was pinching the penny, my friend.
His stuff is on Hulu.
By the way, I'm not even remotely frugal. Like, what's the opposite of frugal?
Frivolous.
Spendthrift.
Spendthrift? I don't think it's spendthrift.
Not spendthrift?
I think it's frivolous. I think Cal nailed it.
Oh, frivolous.
I spend frivolously.
Well, and I
don't have it. No.
That's the best way to do it.
It's the way to be.
You're in debt.
Correct. And
see,
always.
I got it all in Bitcoin.
Smart move.
I'm hoping it all comes out as cash on the other side.
It will. Oh, it will. You know what that sound means? A, you're about to shoot the scene. And B, it's time for the Big Unload. Welcome to Ready to Unload, Big Unload. We're brought to you by a new sponsor tonight. We have a new sponsor. The sponsor of the Big Unload tonight is... Cal, you ready? Drum roll. Worst drum roll ever.
I don't think we have one of those.
We don't have a drum roll sound. Were we too spendthrift to get a drum roll? That was magnificent.
I have no musical ability.
You have no musicians either.
I have no musicians here to help me with my musical ability.
Nope. Nobody on staff.
Nope. Not looking at two of them.
Well, they took one look at your dress down rules. No chance I'm working for this guy. I'm a musician. I'm an artist.
A spendthrift, also called a profligate, is someone who spends money prodigiously and who is extravagant and recklessly wasteful.
Bingo, bango.
Spendthrift, profligate.
I think, first of all, yeah, you can't give a definition with another word we don't know.
Oh, stop it.
Now we got to go look that up. And by the way, I think Sam Pete is out. I think spendthrift is in. San Spendthrift. I think that's my new nickname, San Spendthrift. Okay, we have a new sponsor for the Big Unload. Can I do this?
Nobody's stopping you.
This is real, people, all right? This is real.
Who is it?
It is the Wind-Up Shop with our old friend Jay Mafale.
Mafale.
Yes, our old friend Jay Mafale, who has done the sound for our live remotes from Blue Haven. Blue Haven, New York City's sports bar for grown-ups, by the way. Just FYI.
Still is.
Yes. Jay has a small studio up there in the confines of upstate New York, very reachable on the Metro North. It's called The Wind-Up Shop. It is audio recording, mixing, and mastering. Go to thewindupshop.com/thewindupshop. He's working on a new website, Cal. It's almost done. Great stuff. He's mixed albums up there. If you need to do a voiceover, if you need to do anything in a clean, cool, smoke-free, very nice environment. Jay is magnificent to work with. He has all the tools. He has all the toys. He knows exactly what he's doing with audio. It got filthy. He has all the tools and toys. He knows what he's doing. He's a magnificent. We told the great story, the best story we told about. I told you the story about him saving the audio from an audio book of "Twas the Night Before Christmas" for a friend of ours, whose father had read the "Twas the Night Before Christmas" on one of those little, you know, books, you know, the little holiday books where you can do the voiceover.
Yeah.
Right. Recordable books. That's what I'm looking for. Recordable book. And our friend's father had done this, and then he passed away, and there was another grandchild. So Jay took the audio off of that, of the recordable book, and put it on another one for this child. I mean, it was just a magnificent job he did at the wind-up shop. He did all of this. That's the kind of specialized attention. If you're in the New York City area, in the tri-state area, and you want to record anything, you want to record a demo reel for your commercial, you know, commercial reel. I know some people that listen to us are actors, Cal.
I've heard.
Again, the wind-up shop is Jay's little place, and it's go to www.facebook.com/thewindupshop and see what Jay Mafali has been up to. So thanks to Jay, he's going to be our new sponsor for stuff. We love him.
And he's a great guy.
He is. He's a fantastic guy. He was an
actor. On top of everything.
On top of everything. He's a sweetheart.
That wasn't enough. If his talent wasn't enough.
As if his talent wasn't enough, Brian.
The best.
He is. Do you now? So we're on to the big unload, which could be a huge unload when you hear who the caller was. Take a guess who this caller is. It's not the guy from last week. Who are the Knicks playing tonight?
The Knicks are playing the Pacers.
Of Indiana. Who would be calling us?
There's really only one person I know from Indiana.
That's correct. Should we take it?
Of course we should.
Of course we should. We haven't talked to him in a long time. A long time.
One, two, three, four.
Elwood.
All right, here he is, our buddy from Indiana. Elwood is back. Elwood, how are you, buddy?
Oh, just floated home from the most wonderful game. It was a thing of beauty. Hey, hold on. I got to get my intro song going. Hold on.
Oh,
you got one.
Oh, boy.
Indiana, how about we hang a banner, put it right next to the all-time Reggie Miller, Nick Killer. Oh, speaking of the New York Knicks, round two playoff brother, get into the mix. Oh, blue collar gold swagger.
Okay, now we can talk.
Wow.
Guys.
That is awesome. Hey, Happy New Year, pal.
Well, thank you. You too. You know, I mean, I left the Pacer game early because the Pacers were so far ahead that unless somebody named Andrew Luck was on the Knicks, they weren't winning. So, yeah.
Wow,
way to mix that one in.
That was fantastic. So did
Oh,
you,
I was at that game. The Colts were down by like umpteen million points, and I was like, there's no way to win. And my friend said, sit down. See that down there? See the bearded one? That's Andrew Luck. And by golly, he did it.
He really did.
And if that game with the Pats had been in Indy instead of shady Boston, we'd have won it. But those refs were just making bad calls. It was throwing the momentum. And, yeah, if it had been in Indy where the refs have vision and it's not so, and Luck doesn't get so intimidated, yeah, we'd have creamed them. And then we'd have had Peyton versus Luck, the ultimate matchup. But, oh, well. Hey, guys.
Well, next year.
Okay. Hey, you know what? Peyton ain't getting any younger, but Luck is.
Yeah.
He's actually anti-aging?
What? How is he?
No,
man,
he's like Benjamin Buttons. No, but I meant he's at the point now where actually age is working for him.
Actually, he's
working for him because he hasn't hit his prime yet. He's going up the roller coaster. So, of course, he's aging, but it's good aging, where Peyton has bad aging. You know, it's like wine. You know, wine is good aging. You know, grape juice, that's bad aging, you know. So,
Elwood, how do you feel about do you root for Peyton Manning this week or no?
Well, I sure do. I still love the guy, and I wore my Peyton Manning Colts jersey to lunch today. So, no, I'm going to root for him 110% for two reasons. I still love the guy, and I hate Tom Brady with a passion, and that's who he's playing. So
I think we can all agree on that one.
Welcome aboard.
Hey, you know what? if it ain't going to be luck, let it be Brady. I said it. I mean, if it ain't going to be luck, let it be Peyton. I've said that all along.
Yeah, it's better.
So I'm all for it. I'm rooting for Peyton to go to the Super Bowl and win one. You know, and it wouldn't bother me at all as a Colts fan because we let him go. Because
it'd be nice, actually. If luck can't win it, maybe
scenario,
Peyton
guys.
Can.
Let's say we got rid of luck and we kept Peyton. And we paid him that ginormous sum of money. I guarantee you that'd probably be the Colts lined up to win the Super Bowl. And we'd probably win the Super Bowl this year. And we might win the Super Bowl next year. And we'd be the most amazing team you ever seen. And then Peyton would tip his little hat and retire and go out on top. And Dallas Clark and Jeff Saturday and all of his boys would go with him. And we would have Jack Squat and nobody to draft. We'd be dead in the water. It would take a decade to rebuild. Now we got Andrew Luck up and running.
Yep, best thing that ever happened to you. You're going to have you're essentially as an organization going to have 1 year where you struggled because Peyton got hurt and
11.
Then you're about 20 years, 25 years of fantastic quarterback play. So one bad
day. I'm totally happy with it. Cuz every day I see thank Curtis Painter for sending us Andrew Luck.
That's right. So listen, here's what I want to do, Elwood. I want to get your take real quick on the I don't know if you've been listening to the program, Elwood. We've written off the Knicks a long time ago, so if the Pacers smoked them like mozzarella tonight, we're fine with that.
Fun.
Nice.
Yeah. Now, actually, the first 15 minutes, I was a little nervous. They were actually doing well, the Knicks. I mean, I was getting a little nervous. I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to be so embarrassed if we lose to this New York team, because almost all the New York teams are tanking this year. And I was like, oh, no. But then they pulled it out, and then they just blew them out of the water. And it got to the point where not even Andrew Luck could have saved them. But,
good. All right.
You're talking about the crazy Cajun?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be so random, too. You know who I totally miss from that time period was the crazy nun who she had buck teeth and real thick glasses that reviewed art on public television. I so miss Sister Wendy. It was great. Because it was like,
oh my gosh,
Sister Wendy, I think was her name, but it was a buck-toothed, short nun with pop bottle glasses, and she talked to the list, and you're like, oh my God. But if you ever stop to listen to her, she had the most brilliant insight of art on anyone on planet Earth.
Well, you couldn't get past those teeth, though.
No, I couldn't either. But when I just started watching her because of the novelty. Oh my God, there's a buck-toothed nun with glasses talking about Andy Warhol. And I was like, you know, she's making some very valid points. I'm like, wow, I've just learned a few things.
That's awesome.
But she was great. She was like the Cajun guy. He made cooking fun, and he told jokes, and you were just waiting for him to say, I guarantee. You know, it was like you would just, when you were a kid, you just watch Different Strokes waiting for him to say, what you talking about, Willis? You know, you would just sit there and wait for that, you know.
Absolutely.
But I had to throw in Sister Wendy since we're bringing up our people from the past who just totally got forgotten, even though they pioneered things.
I love it. All right, so.
He pioneered the food show. Julia Childs was doing Food Network stuff 50 years ago.
I mean, she's the granddaddy of them all when it comes to food.
She cooked something none of us ever going to make and wouldn't even know where to buy the ingredients, and we still watched her. God bless her.
And you still couldn't cook it.
I wouldn't even know where to buy any of that, nor would I ever cook it, nor would I ever eat it. But people watched her.
Yeah.
You know.
So tell me about your Pacers. Tell me about your Pacers, Elwood, this year.
I went in there and had a few beers, watched some Pacers, had a few beers, got a little nervous. Then they just walloped him. And, oh, my gosh, Roy Hibbert was amazing. He got that ball and did a dunk, and the Pacers were like, boosh. And all the Knicks people were, like, standing around like, what happened? What happened? You know, it was great.
Described the Knicks defense this year.
And the Jets and the Giants and the Rangers and the Mets and the Yankees. It was great.
It hasn't worked out too well.
It's tough times here in New York.
It is tough times, and I'm not trying to be mean, you know, but I was like, wow.
We're the first to admit it.
Taking the Mets to Queens, you know, making them the Queens Mets, and they're talking about on Twitter what people think about that, and I was like, well, let's just bring them to Indianapolis and call them that, and that didn't go over well.
Yes. Well, I think the old Queens Mets thing is a little silly, but I did see that.
Hey, it worked out for the Nets, so
I saw that today
Nets.
On Twitter too. Yeah,
hey, you go to my dad and talk about the Dodgers, and you better say Brooklyn Dodgers, even if you're talking about a game you saw yesterday, or he gets violent. So names mean a lot to people, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
So, My dad's got a Brooklyn Dodgers pennant, yellowed with age, falling off the wall, held up with more tape than felt, but by God, he ain't changing it for no L.A. So,
no,
who knows?
Never should. I had relatives, Elwood, that would still come and watch Dodger games every time the Dodgers would come to Shea to play the Mets, and they would still go to those games just to boo the Dodgers for leaving Brooklyn.
You know, when I tailgate at Colts stuff, there's a lot of people there from Baltimore who just stayed true to the Colts and don't anything to do with the Ravens, and they come to Colts tailgates and have Maryland bumper stickers and Colts stuff. And I notice, though, they usually wear the throwback jerseys, the Unitas and stuff. I notice they're not huge to embrace it. But I could see it happening because, you know, I'll be talking to a Colts fan, and they'll bring up Maryland. I'm like, what?
Yeah, no, I mean, that was a religious team for them. I mean, that was huge, the Colts in Baltimore. That was awful when they left, and it was wonderful. I stood up on my desk
in our class in junior high and screamed my head off and jipped, and it was a wonderful experience.
Good for me. We were in
Mrs. Utterback's art class, and they came on the radio, and they said, "It is official. It is official. The Colts have left Baltimore and are coming to Indianapolis." And the whole building went psychotic. It was great. Yeah, it was one of those things. I was glad to be alive at the time. You know, I was just a kid and stuff. But, oh, wow.
So let me get your, Elwood, let me get your quick takes, and it's going to take us into talking about these championship games. Let me get your takes on the games this weekend. The Patriots-Colts game, obviously,
it's going to be all Peyton. Yeah, it's Peyton. And then in the other game, it's going to be Skittles, because I don't think Cap is the real deal. It's going to be Skittles versus Peyton in the Super Bowl. I like Seattle this year, and it's at home in Seattle, and I think Kaepernick is way too much media hype. You know, I'm sorry, but having a lot of tattoos and wearing your hat backwards, you know, and seeming very urban does not make you a great quarterback. I don't care how good of a soundbite you give. And I think Skittles is the real deal. He's got a good heart, and I think he's a good quarterback. I think he loves the game, and I think he's going to take Cap out. And I think that Peyton Manning knows that his days are numbered, and I think now that he don't have Jim Caldwell to mess him up all the time, I think he's going to just tear up the Patriots. You know, because this game is in Denver. This game is not in shady Boston with shady refs and shady fans and in a shady town with shady food. Yeah, that's just a shady place. I went to Boston, and boy, they treat you like dirt if they think you're from Indiana. And I thought, well, eat your clam chowder and just enjoy your classiness there, because you all sound like a little Milano.
They don't care for New Yorkers either. Yeah, they're not big fans of ours either, so.
No, they don't like us. They just treat us like we're all a bunch of rue hay seeds. And they're like, "How's Utah's baseball team?" And I'm like, "It's about as well as your IndyCar race." You know, jeez, man.
That's awesome. One last question.
So when you get Planet Earth's largest single-day sporting event, come taunt me about not having a baseball team.
Come talk to us. You keep your Bill Belichick.
Because one-third of planet Earth watches the Indianapolis 500. One-third of this planet. Not even the Super Bowl has those numbers.
Is that true?
Yes.
Is that an actual fact? No. Wow.
Yes, it's a, think about it, though. Do you think people in Italy and Japan care about the Super Bowl? No. Do they love IndyCar? They thrive on it. Think about all the places in the world where IndyCar is popular. You know, it's a built-in market. It's the IndyCar race to end IndyCar races. Yeah, because a lot of people say, that's not, how can that be? And I'm like, do you think anyone in Italy would care about a Super Bowl? They don't even watch football. But, man, they're into the IndyCar in France. You know, and there's drivers from all over the world in the 500. So that's a built-in fan base. Everyone from all over the world turns in to see how their guy's going to do. Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
Having gone to school in the Midwest with lots of folks from Indianapolis and from that neck of the woods, it's huge. It's the biggest sporting event on the planet. I mean,
I think while it's broadcasting on the radio there, I think it's like close to like, I think that day they're the largest radio station in the world. It's scary how much of the world actually is getting that race on the radio. It's freaky.
I think the only thing that's close, honestly, when it comes to sporting events, is the World Cup. Is when the World Cup
is close, but it's
how about the Olympics?
No,
that's not a single day sporting event, anyways.
Right.
Oh, right.
Ratings.
It
I think the
one.
Think the,
one event.
I think the World Cup final comes pretty close. But all right. So last question for you, Elwood, because we got to move on to the A-Rod stuff, because I have to get to it because I have a lot to get off my chest.
Oh yeah, I so love it. I'm loving the A-Rod stuff. This is great fun.
This is you can provide unique insight here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If Peyton wins this game and wins the Super Bowl, does he retire?
I think he will, because I think he's more hurt than they're letting on. I think they're kind of patching him up and keeping him going. Remember the police car in Smokey and the Bandit? You know how they just kept that damn car going to the end of the movie somehow? And I think they're doing that with Peyton. And I think that he's going to go out on top because he doesn't have much more time left in him.
I totally agree. Elwood, thanks so much for checking in. Will you check in next
Not
week?
Problem.
If Peyton
try, but yeah, well, I'm interested to hear your take on A-Rod, because I'm so loving this, because we all knew they were juicing in the 90s and zeros, and we didn't care because it was making the game great, but then when they got caught, we all turned on them. You know, I'm so loving this.
I have a really...
Dude, if you didn't think that skinny little Brady Anderson, who couldn't hit nothing, in one season became a bulked-out monster who was knocking him out of the park, wasn't juicing, you're an idiot. Of course he was juicing, and I didn't care because it was sweet. Mark McGwire is a butterball turkey, and he come
this
out looking like
segment.
Lou Ferrigno in a week.
We got to have a new segment called You're an Idiot with Elwood.
You are an idiot. Mark McGwire, and then as soon as Mark McGwire quit juicing, he turned into Don DeLuise. You know, but they were all juicing. We knew they were juicing.
Well,
we didn't care because it made the game great. Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire saved baseball from almost slipping into oblivion. You know,
that's
just, and it's like
that's
now that they got
the
caught, we're mad at them.
4 minutes.
it's like whatever.
Yep.
Juice enough, people, if it makes the game good, but don't get caught. I mean, that's the rule of the game, you know?
That's why they're going after A-Rod.
We want an elephant in the room when it comes to steroids. You know, we all want to know it's there, but we don't want to know it's there. And if you make it too obvious that we have to point it out, well, then we got a problem.
Yep.
You know, 40-year-old A-Rod still playing like he's 22. Well, he can't be taking anything illegal. You know, give me a break.
You must be stupid.
You must be stupid if you think A-Rod's not taking nothing
in
his 40s and playing amazing.
Sorry.
It's good genetics and exercise. Bull crap. It's like one of those commercials, if you drink this shake, you'll lose 20 pounds in a week. You know, even if that was possible, that would, like, destroy your body, send you into some sort of shock or coma. You know, so, well. Hey, guys, I'll hang up, let you get out of here, because my Pacer Bears are starting to kick in here, but I'm rambling. But good talking to you.
We'll talk to you soon. Good win tonight, Elwood, and thanks for checking in, brother.
Oh, yeah, Pacers on it, man. They might as well just throw out all the other teams and have the Pacers play Miami now.
They might do that.
That's what's going to happen.
I'll talk to you, pal. Be good.
One, two, three, four.
Elwood.
You got to be an idiot.
Wow. That was nice, Elwood.
We got to get him to call, though, after the Pacers win. I don't know how he'd be after a Pacers loss.
So you're saying we need to get him to call after a loss?
I don't know how. I don't know if I would want to hear from him after a loss.
I see what you did there.
He was great after a win.
Right. You're saying after a loss, not so much. Yeah.
I think you hear a lot about the officiating after a loss.
I think you're right.
I have a crooked town. With crooked cops and crooked officials and bad parking.
I have a sneaking suspicion if it's a loss, it's a poorly officiated game. That's just me.
I'm sorry, he just killed me with "you gotta be an idiot." That was
"you gotta be an idiot." Oh, man. Elwood, thanks, buddy. Wow. Boy, we hadn't heard from him in a while. We thought we ended on bad terms with him. I was really glad to hear him back tonight and having a nice time, and that was a really good conversation.
Good.
I apologize.
I thought so.
Good.
I did.
No,
I put him on the air, I apologize. And why did Elwood have a better microphone than either of you guys? He sounded great.
I don't know. I don't know what he's
What's
on.
What's he doing out there?
the phone calls always sound better than the Skype call.
They have great bandwidth over there.
That's
it's a good thing we got these new mics then.
It's
that really worked out well.
That's our.
Are you sure they're mics?
Talk radio.
Are you sure you weren't sold a miniature hair dryer from a 1950s hair salon?
Why
and you're just talking into it?
Why did you gotta make fun?
I think this thing came from Spencer Gifts.
I have fun. They look Gifts.
Did you go to Spencer Gifts right after you went to Time Out to play some video games? Okay, that's a Long Island joke. All right. So I do want to talk about the A-Rod thing first. That was going to be the big unload for one simple reason.
But it still can be.
Well, it's going to have to be.
Why wouldn't it? Well, it still will be. That's what the plan was, right?
Let's stick with the plan.
Let's stay with the plan.
Absolutely. Let's not be thrown off Elwood-wise. Look, you
stay
gotta,
the course.
You got to be an idiot if you get thrown off there. You got to be. And you, sir, are not an idiot.
I want to hear what you have to say about A-Rod, because you've got a lot to get off your chest.
Well, it's not even a matter of a lot to get off my chest. I actually wrote it down, because...
Are you going to read a prepared statement?
I'm going to read a prepared statement. Time for an RTU minute. No. I actually... I'm Steve Sanpietro, ready to unload sports. Hey, A-Rod, we hear you. I don't know if it was talked about today. I didn't have a chance to listen to sports talk radio today, here in New York. But here's what I want to get your opinion on, Brian. We've sort of seen the A-Rod thing from all sorts of angles, and it's been very interesting here in New York that Mike Francesa, the biggest sports talk host here in New York, is really sort of on A-Rod's side and has turned this into a Bud Selig is trying to – they're trying to destroy A-Rod. It's a witch hunt. It doesn't matter if he did steroids or not. Why didn't they go after these other players with the same ferocity that they've gone after A-Rod? And it's Bud Selig's legacy. He's trying to go out because he's retiring next year with A-Rod's quote-unquote pelt on the wall. And that's a very interesting take for one reason. He sort of, in my opinion, again, this is just my take. I hate using the word take. This is just my opinion. He said several times that A-Rod got the two biggest contracts in the history of the sport, right? Up until, I think, Clayton Kershaw's doesn't even top his. And they're trying to make an example out of A-Rod to prove that you can't use performance-enhancing drugs to get a big contract. Because if you look at those guys in the early 90s when the proliferation of steroids and PEDs really came to the forefront in baseball, Cal, like to me, Jason Giambi is always the perfect example. Jason Giambi is a good baseball player. Okay, he's a good to very good baseball player. Jason Giambi starts using performance-enhancing drugs and becomes a great baseball player and gets a 7-year, $123 million contract. He never would have gotten that contract. Well, I shouldn't say never. He might not have gotten that contract without the aid of performance-enhancing drugs. They made a very good ball player a great ball player, whether it was by improving his hand-eye coordination with the use of steroids or using some sort of human growth hormone or some sort of healing device to keep him on the field and playing 160 games a year, a la Andy Pettit. They're using the PEDs to get big contracts, whether it's the marginal player who uses a PED to stay in the league and get a contract or the good player that goes to great, et cetera, et cetera. So A-Rod gets – and stop me at any point if you – agree, disagree.
I've heard this before.
Or you want to punch me in the face. No, it just... please chime in at any point. I'm just saying...
Please go with this.
Francesa made that point. And to me, that was his most salient point. That the Major League Baseball wants to show you can't... You're not going to get the big contract using performance-enhancing drugs. It's not... That's not what it's about, right? So that's I think he's right there. I think Major League Baseball wants to make an example out of Alex Rodriguez because of the contracts he got while using performance-enhancing drugs.
Okay.
Here's where he misses, to me, he misses, and a lot of people are missing the boat. Missing the boat's not right. Not reading the subtext.
You know what I heard in a meeting the other day? That's just the icing on the sundae.
Were you with foreigners?
No. It was, you know, a reasonably intelligent man who just decided to jazz it up.
He put a little spin on it.
That's just the icing on the sundae.
You can't do that.
No, it's not.
You can't. You can't just take a cliche like that and just make it your own. What is he branding?
I don't know if he was trying to make it his own or if he didn't get it right, or if he really believes that that's what the cliche is.
That's, you can't do that. That's like giving yourself your own nickname.
It's physically impossible.
You can't do it.
From now on,
call me Soda Pop.
We'll talk to Bishop later because I want to get his take on whether you can put icing on a sundae.
Of course.
I don't think you can.
I don't think you can.
Well, look, it's like throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
That's it. But you can't suddenly midstream decide to change that to suit your own. It's like throwing the baby out with the...
It's like shooting the baby with two stones in the basket.
That's just mixing.
What he did there is those
are things that could be related.
He took cliches and he combined them. The icing on the cake.
And the cherry on the sundae.
And the cherry on the sundae.
And he went icing on the sundae. So you're right. It's like killing two stones with a bathwater.
In the basket.
Killing two birds with one bathwater.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get off topic, but...
You didn't. What were we talking about?
A-Rod.
You said something about icing? I'm hungry.
Before you go on, I want to address...
Well, no, okay.
All right.
I want to get to the other part that I
go,
feel like...
No, please.
Here's the icing on the sundae.
No, please. You haven't talked enough. Go on.
I do not care for that.
No, please, go on. I'll remember what I have to say. Go on.
It's simply this. My answer is this. Nothing. Not even the fee for the gaming license, which I would appreciate if you put up yourself. No one is really harping on the fact that Major League Baseball is going after A-Rod this hard because he has tried to circumvent the system and the drug testing this entire time. It's not just that he took steroids. It's that he has been seeking out new and inventive ways to take steroids and PEDs while circumventing the drug testing for the last 2.5 years. That's why they're making an example of him. That's why he's the worst offender here, because he sought out Galea, he sought out Biogenesis, he sought out every... he doesn't want to just do PEDs, he wants to beat the system.
Right.
And he's showing other players how to beat the system. So...
Well, is he...
Yes. How many players did he turn on to Biogenesis? I mean, that's part of what was in the arbitration, was the idea that he's turning players on to Bosch and his drug regimen. Did you see the quote today, Cal, from the IOC drug specialist? I don't know what you call this person, but it's from the International Olympic Committee.
The czar.
The drug czar. Said... This is the regimen that Bosch had A-Rod on was the most complex PED regimen in the history of sports. It's like it blew Lance Armstrong's out of the water. Like, this was the most complex and, I'm paraphrasing, but elaborately designed pass and beat the tests
right.
that had ever been designed. This is why they're going so hard after A-Rod, because they're showing him you can't keep trying to beat the test.
Well, did you see any of the 60 Minutes interview with Bosch?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Even before this quote came out today, just when you heard the detailed regimen that he put together for him, and, you know, my favorite story of that entire interview was him drawing blood in a men's room at a Miami club.
Right.
Because he had to draw blood at 8 o'clock that night.
Yeah.
Now, why? Why was it so it was so regimented, not to maximize his performance.
No, exactly.
It was to beat the system.
Exactly.
It's not what, you know, that was the point.
Exactly.
You're right.
Exactly.
I think a lot of people miss that.
I don't even know if it's missed or it's just not talked about enough. Like, that's the point. The point is not only the contract thing, which I think is very big, and I think there's elements to Selig trying to not have a pelt on his wall, Bri, but can't you see that there's elements of Selig trying to look how tough we are, look how tough we've become on steroids. Yes, I know we dropped the ball for the first 10 years. The last, 8 years, 8 to 10 years of my tenure, we're really trying to clean the game up. I mean, there's elements. I think you know how I feel about Bud Selig. We both, I think, feel the same way about Bud Selig. Okay, I will not be sorry to see him go. By any means. If there was a different commissioner there, those two clowns over in Queens wouldn't still own my team. But when it comes to this, his only motivation can't be just to look good on the way out.
I think that's the driving motivation behind this. I think
so. You agree with Francesa?
I agree that this is. There's a lot of self-interest in this.
Legacy-wise.
Yeah. I think that he does want to clean up the game. And he wants his legacy to be that he cleaned up the game. And he cleaned up the game by pelting A-Rod to the wall.
But the. Okay.
I don't think this is a magnanimous effort on his part.
Totally agree. It's not altruism or something like that.
Not at all.
I totally agree with that. What I am saying, though, is so I think we're both sort of agreeing.
Yeah, I think what's being lost
is the reason they're going off after A-Rod the hardest. That's the question that Francesa keeps asking this week. Well, why A-Rod? Why A-Rod? Why him? Why him? Why him? There's all a million guys using PEDs. Why him? Why him? Because, Mike, because everybody else who's saying why A-Rod and he's being scapegoated, because he's been trying to see, because of the lengths he went to try to circumvent the testing. He's trying to find new ways. That's why. That's why you go after him the hardest. And make an example of him. Why him? To make an example of him. For those reasons. I agree. Magnanimous is a great word, Brian. It is a great word. I totally agree with you. I don't think Bud Selig somehow found religion and is, trying to purify the game. And all of a sudden he's, Bowie Kuhn, trying to, be the purest, or Bartlett Giamatti, trying to give the purest version of baseball at all.
This is a do-over.
Exactly. I think his legacy is he effed up for the first, 10 years of his tenure, because he took over in 91. In the first 10 years of his tenure, everybody, Francesa included, by the way, I love how he has basically said that everybody turned a blind eye to steroids except him. So did you, Mike. You have 8 steroid users on your World Series teams. 8. Principal players, steroid users. You don't win a World Series without Roger Clemens. You don't win a World Series without any eight guys. So, you know, please, you seem to turn a blind eye too. Anyway, I think it's a combination of those things. I just haven't heard anybody talk about that idea of he's trying to beat the system. That's why they're coming down so hard on him. That's why his punishment is so great.
Well, and also because if you are a player that's considering using PEDs, what's going to deter you more when you see a guy like a Jordani Valdespin get suspended for 162 games or a guy like Alex Rodriguez get suspended for 162 games?
I agree with that to a point, but I don't think that's what makes A-Rod special here.
No, I think so.
Because they could have done it to Braun, who's a younger guy and has more of a career
life. No, they couldn't have done it to Braun because he accepted the punishment.
Exactly. And also, Braun was not seeking out and going to the ends of the earth to try to beat drug tests. See, A-Rod's whole thing is to beat the system.
That's not true, what you just said. That's not true. Maybe he didn't go to the ends of the earth, but he failed a drug test last year, and he got off on a technicality. He lawyered up, and he got off on a technicality.
That's different.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm saying that's different, bro. He already did the PED. A-Rod, so his goal was taking PEDs to improve his performance. He's not seeking out doctors that are going to help him beat tests.
That we know of.
Then he got, he went to Biogenesis, so.
So he did.
He absolutely did. But A-Rod sought this guy out 3 years ago. A-Rod sought out Galea. A-Rod went to Europe to get his blood replaced or whatever he did. Like, A-Rod is consistently trying to beat the PED system. All Braun did, the sort of, you know, pardon my French, but scumbag that he is, all he did was get caught and lawyer up and get off on a technicality and ruin a guy's life. So don't get me wrong. I'm not painting Braun as some sort of angel. I'm saying they had the MVP, they had the reigning MVP. If they want to make an example of somebody in 2012, who's a bigger player? Ryan Braun or A-Rod?
What's the example you would have liked to have seen them make out of Ryan Braun?
If Ryan Braun was doing the things that A-Rod has done,
right? Then they would go after him.
They would have gone after him this hard. Right.
But
that's
he's not.
But that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So
everybody's asking the question, why A-Rod? Why A-Rod? It seems like a witch hunt. Why A-Rod? In my opinion, it's not just because he did the PEDs, it's because he tried to figure out how to beat the system to do the PEDs. And there it is. And put them all in the Hall of Fame, Bri. I don't care anymore. I did love what he said today, though. He's like, you know what? I could use a break.
Yeah.
Hey, man, this could be great. I'm going to come back.
Maybe they did me a favor.
Yeah. Maybe they did, A-Rod. No, that's enough about him. I just wanted to get that out. Do you have anything else that
nope.
You... Yeah. You see what I'm saying, though, right? Like, it just got to the point. For me, where that was asked over and over again. And, like, the Daily News has spun the completely other way. It's wild. You don't often see such disparate sort of opinions. Like, the Daily News is all over A-Rod. And, like, in a bad way. And then you listen to Francesa and you think A-Rod, like, took a couple of uppers.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all he did. So I want to get your – we had something else very exciting happen here in the New York sports world. Can I say it like that? Sports world?
Mm-hmm. You just did?
Yep. Rex Ryan signed an extension. A Rextension.
A Rextension.
Your opinion. What do you think?
I think it's fair. You know, they didn't sign him to a five-year contract. They didn't provide him with this cushion of job security that everybody thinks 2 extra years seems to provide him with. They didn't remove any accountability from him. You know, I think what it does is, and I've seen this a lot today, is it paints a picture of stability. And you need that with an organization, you know? And quite frankly, he took a team that wasn't supposed to win more than 4 games this year, and he doubled it. He won 8 games, regardless of what we think of him as a coach. And I've gone back and forth on him for the last 5 years on whether I think he is a good head coach, or he will be, or if he's developed or grown in the position. Regardless of that fact, he took a bad team this year, and he got them to butts off for him the last two games of the season, and that says a lot. So I think to give him another 2 years on top of the one that he gets is perfectly fine. You know, it removes the distraction. Everybody can get their comments out of the way now, whether they agree with it or not. You know, let them get all the nonsense out of the way here in January rather than go into training camp in July and he's a lame duck coach and then they'll have a field day with it all year. Now that's it. That's off the table. You can't – you want that narrative, you got to throw in the garbage. Go recycle another one, all right? Because this one's done. He's the coach for at least next year. And you know what? If they come out next year and they get him a team with players and draft picks and they load him up and he goes out and finishes 5-11, they're going to fire him. Regardless of the other 2 years, they're going to fire him. So I have no problem with it whatsoever. And that's it.
I think they also, too, the early speculation is that they sort of protected themselves in the contract. It sounded like a great compromise where everybody sort of wins in that it's incentive-based. So I don't think his third year, I don't think that 15-16 year vests unless he, like, makes the playoffs or something. Or basically, it's the Jets getting security from a financial standpoint if they want to fire him after the 2014-15 season, where they don't have to pay him the full amount of the contract. It's not guaranteed those last 2 years. And Rex gets to do what Rex loves to do, which is bet on himself.
Right.
I'm betting on myself to be successful. Now,
I just want to say another thing before you move on. The Jets.
Say it.
The Jets get criticized constantly for being a circus.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
For not knowing what they're doing.
Nope.
For making dumb decisions.
Yep.
Constantly.
Go on.
Right? What they've done now is they've extended a coach now for his 6th, 7th, and 8th year, which is stability.
Yep.
Right? You can't have it both ways. They're either a circus or they're not.
I think the Jets as an organization clearly are not remotely a circus anymore. Remotely. And everybody says that they need to emulate the Giants and be more like their, you know, their co-tenants and try to, you know, have stability in a classy organization. And I think everything they have done this offseason has been done. I've loved every part of it. Loved every part of it. They've been quiet. They've been humble. They didn't celebrate an 8-8 season. That's a ridiculous notion.
That's a narrative.
Right. But it's false. And it's being proved patently false. And I think on a daily – and you know what I love today, Cal? Who had the breaking
– was it Schefter, right?
Of course. Wasn't a Jet beat guy.
No.
Because I tell you what, that faucet done been shut off.
They're not going
to
– oh, the Cajun Cajun.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to get us. They're not going to get any more scoops.
Nope.
You know?
It's shut off.
Like you said, the leaks have been plugged. The rats have left the ship.
Yep.
It's over.
Yeah, and
do your jobs now. Now you got to work.
That's
guys.
Just a magnificent example of how much Itzik has really button up the organization. He really has. And I thought their press conference was fantastic. I think them giving Rex an extension now is great, as you said, for the reasons you said, and I'm okay with it because you're not married to him for the next 5 years. You gave him a little bit of job security, but you said prove it. Right. Now you know what the key is, Cal. Brings me to my next point. The key is Itzik. The key is John Itzik building, you know, a team around the young quarterback. If they've decided that he is the young quarterback to build around. Which brings me to the NFL draft. Which moved to May 8th. Always the third, it was the third Thursday in April. The NFL draft is on Thursday, May 8th. Did you know this?
No, not until you mentioned it.
That's right. They moved it. May 8th. Thursday night, May 8th is round one. Rounds 2 and 3 are Friday.
May 9th.
Correct. And rounds 4 through 7 are that Saturday, the 10th. It's hot action.
I don't know if I like that. Do you like that?
I do. I'm greedy in that I hate that it's later because I can't. But this is how I discovered this. Every year, Bri, it never ceases to surprise me how much I love the NFL draft. Like every year after it's over and after football season's over and the Jets are usually not in the playoffs, although, you know, 7 out of the last 14 years is not bad. And I usually am like, oh, you know, I'm ready. I'm only going to be into the draft like this much. Like next year, I can't be into it this much. I can't. And then January, they're out of the playoffs and January 1 hits. And I'm like, I cannot wait for the draft. I'm already looking at video and looking at mock drafts. I can't wait. I'm taken aback once again about how much I love the NFL draft. Oh, did I lose Brian? Oh, no. No? Did you mute yourself? You muted yourself.
I muted myself.
Wow, you are censoring yourself? Did you say something filthy?
I did.
About the NFL draft?
You'll have to tune in after dark to hear what I said.
You'd have to be an idiot to mute yourself.
Thank you, Elwood. I love the NFL draft, and that's how I found out it was on May 8th.
Did you get a card in the mail that says,
no,
we've moved?
No, but this, but I was looking for a JPEG for the episode page for the NFL draft, and I found a save the date.
Oh.
On the look on the episode page, which you never do.
I do all the time.
Never.
I've got it bookmarked.
Yeah.
You
got a fancy bookmark over there? Is that what you're doing? You sound like my mother now. I looked at your page.
The internet?
I looked. I bookmarked it. Mom, you don't know how to... You couldn't bookmark. You couldn't... You don't know from bookmarking. What do you know?
Well...
Anyway, that's how I found out.
Let me ask you this.
All right.
About...
Sure, Jay Leno.
Moving... I can't do a Jay Leno.
You just did.
Not intentionally.
Right? The unintentional Jay Leno?
What are the ramifications of...
That sounded like the Brothers McMullen. Did someone put the Brothers McMullen on?
When
I
did
thought I heard Edward Burns.
Edward Burns.
I thought you said you love me.
Such a weird voice, Ed Burns. Really weird. Now you hear him doing cards.
School of high pitched acting.
Yeah, you hear
what
him doing.
Do?
And why would I put it there? And wait, what's the crystal? There's a great crystal high talking. Maybe it's in When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, any time he needs to get serious, he raises the register of his voice.
But
it
you
drives
didn't.
Me nuts.
Right. Right.
Have you
slept with anyone since you'd left Joe?
Right. Jerry Seinfeld. I'm not driving him to the airport.
Well, that's brilliant acting.
That is, yeah.
Did you guys catch Coffee and Cars or Driving in Cars and Coffee Comedians?
What is baby it? In the car with the coffee, out with the bathwater. With the Sunday
comedians in cars getting coffee.
Putting icing on the coffee with the cars and a comedians and stand up.
Ice
which
on the
one? Louis C.K.?
Yeah, the new one.
The
first one of
the
new
the
season. Throwing out the bongos with the bath baby.
Yeah,
with the Louis C.K. Fantastic, right?
Great. Oh, the whole concept of it is brilliant.
Yes. And I love that he makes an espresso on his boat. It's great.
Hey, PJ, are you there?
Hi.
Can you put icing on a sundae?
I'll try. You want me to go do a run-through? I'll let you know what I do.
Wait, you happen to have icing and a sundae right there at the ready?
At all times.
I can whip something up. Let me see what I can do.
All right.
You don't know what goes on in that house. There is icing at the ready at all times, and a sundae.
I'm one of those guys where if you call me and say, hey, can I stop over to borrow the whatever, I'll go and I'll make a quick cinnamon crunch cake by the time you get here, just in case you want to stop for coffee.
What if I called up to ask for a cinnamon crunch cake?
Then he'll make you coffee.
I would not do it.
Hey, do you have any cinnamon crunch cake?
I would say no, but come over, and then I would make you lemon poppy seed. I'd never give you what you asked for.
I feel like you'd make a loaf at that point of something.
Yeah, be bready. Yeah.
Right.
And then, of course, I would get there, and I'd say, you know what? I really wanted lemon poppy seed.
And then he'd whip up a cinnamon crunch one.
I don't know what I was thinking with the cinnamon crunch.
On the spot. I don't even know what a cinnamon crunch cake is.
Nor do I.
He's making a sundae right now, isn't he?
He's making a sundae, isn't he?
You want me to make one for you? I'll send it over.
Please go make a sundae, ice it, and get back to us.
All right. I will report back.
Yeah, the draft is May 8th. I love it so much.
Jay Leno wants to ask you a question.
Yes. Yes, Ed Burns.
He wants to know what the ramifications are for teams and or players now that the draft is 2 weeks later.
I don't know.
How does that affect things?
Because the rookie camps are usually like, what, the end of May or the beginning of June or whatever. I don't know how it – I think it gives you 2 more weeks of free agency, right? Because free agency starts like March 1.
Yeah, but football free agency is like – it starts March 1 and it's done March 2.
Right, because by March 3, every guy is signed.
Yeah, the dregs are left at that point. So I don't think it really affects that.
Yeah, I guess I don't think –
I don't like it. I think, it's further into the NBA and NHL playoffs at that point.
Sure.
So now you run the risk of putting the draft up against a playoff game.
Right.
Are they rotating the draft? Are they taking it out of New York? There has been talk of that.
My save the date says it's at Radio City.
Okay.
Still.
Well, I thought they had talked about maybe awarding it to different cities.
This was completely news to me, though. Like, I was literally taken aback for like 10 minutes.
Was not on the radar.
No.
Anywhere. Never heard anything about it. No buzz.
No, zero buzz. Buzzless.
No scuttlebutt.
But butts were not scuttled.
No chatter.
No chatter.
Nothing.
I couldn't do anything with that one.
Chatter.
Chatterless. All right? Chatterless. It was chatterless. All right? You got chatter? Chowder.
There you go. I was waiting for the leap.
Do you remember that, what was his name? Saturday Night Live sketch. Where they're doing, it's what's his name from Northern Exposure?
Oh, Rob Morrow.
Rob Morrow. And he's like in a restaurant and he just is like inappropriate. He's in a restaurant in Boston and he's like, how about that clam chowder? And he's got a time machine so he can go back and, it's a really weird, like a 10-to-1 sketch that I enjoyed.
Right. Oh, I love those.
Right. Where he could go back in time. He was like socially inappropriate.
Right.
Or said a joke that didn't land, much like I'm doing now, and or told the story, and he could go back and fix it. And one of the ones was, hey, I mean, have you guys been to New England? How about we get some chowder?
I don't remember that one.
Oh, it's not great. It's not an all-star appearance.
It's all right.
It's okay.
It's a filler.
Let's close with this, and then we'll go to the fun load.
Well, PJ's making a Sunday, so we have to wait for him.
Correct. The championship games are this weekend. The football has been, I haven't caught much of it. The most I caught was of the San Diego, I mean, obviously I've seen all the highlights, I know all the game stories, et cetera, but watching Soup to Nuts or Soup to Bread Pudding,
what we
haven't done.
Is that a Woody Allen movie?
Soup to Nuts, correct.
Soup to Nuts?
Yes. No, that's a saying.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Soup to Nuts. That's like from the beginning to the end.
Right. From the antepast.
Right.
To the canoles.
Look, I didn't get to watch it Soup to Wooden Nickels. Okay, but
right.
that guy in your meeting, he's got a million of them.
So, you all the time shooting fish in a barrel, uses it wrong every single meeting.
You have to go out of your way to even use that in the first place.
Oh, here's another one. Here's another one that he used. We're going to talk about the 80-pound gorilla in the room.
No, come on. No.
I swear to you.
He knows he's doing it. I swear to you. So he doesn't go big pink elephant. He doesn't go 800-pound gorilla. What does he say?
The 80-pound gorilla.
There's nothing unusual about that.
This guy and I, we turn to each other. We're looking at each other like, that's like a monkey. A gorilla? That's not right.
What makes it unusual and nobody's talking about is that it's the world's smallest gorilla.
Right.
That's what nobody's talking. Look at that 80-pound gorilla. Will you look at that 80-pound gorilla? Don't look. That's the skinniest gorilla I've ever seen in my life.
And then today's analogy was, it's like putting a 2014 Panasonic air conditioner in a Model T.
We have to get this guy on the show.
I think he was trying to
blow your mind.
He was trying to illustrate that you wouldn't use new technology in an outdated system. So that was what he came up with.
Perfect analogy.
Do Panasonic make air conditioners in the year 2014?
This guy is management material. No doubt. There goes the next mayor in New York. I mean, there goes the next chief of police.
He referred to the Japanese version of quality and then proceeded to rattle off all kinds of numbers. This is all in 1 hour today.
What does he do for the 6 o'clock show? The Japanese version of quality.
Yeah, I mean, pretty sure they have the same... definition, Japanese definition of quality. That's what it was. And I'm pretty sure they have the same definition of quality that we here in the States do. But he was 25% of this and 60% of that.
This guy was on fire today.
It's rough. But we've taken to writing them down now because...
Oh, you have to.
Because sometimes it's... What, did he just say that?
The 80-pound gorilla in the room. Look.
That was a good one.
Guys, it's clear.
Let's address the 80-pound gorilla in the room, okay?
Yes, Les. Let's address the world's smallest gorilla.
That's a fourth grader in a Halloween costume.
We're on the set of Land of the Lost. This is Project X 2. That's not an 80-pound gorilla. Yes, let's address this.
There's nothing to address. There he is.
There he is.
He's minding his own business.
Looks like
not causing any problems. He's very small.
Looks like my nephew. Pretty much. Dressed as Chewbacca. That's pretty much what it looks like.
80 pounds. I'm sorry.
That's great. Oh, that's so great.
I don't know how I got off onto that. I'm sorry.
I'm glad you did.
I had meant to say something about it because today was just, it was on fire.
Oh, yeah. He's just killing it. I got to watch a little of the San Diego Denver game, and my immediate head scratching moment was especially in the first half. Like, what are they doing? Like, what is this game plan? Like, but it's been talked about to death. But I just didn't understand what Ken Whisenhunt and the San Diego Chargers were doing. Like, you have to attack. You're not going to be able to – I understand you want to play ball control, and that's how you won the week before. But you have to attack that secondary because it's not very good. And they did that in the second half, and they almost came back and won that game. I think these are fantastic matchups. Like, I'm actually going to watch both games this weekend, and you can't get much better than Brady versus Manning. You really can't at this stage.
You're not tired of it, though?
I'm not.
Really?
No, I mean, would I rather the Jets are there? Of course, but
that wasn't what I asked.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not tired of it.
Okay, that's good.
They're the two guys at the height of their powers. I mean, Manning's a little
past. Height of their powers?
Yeah. What, too much? Is that an 80-pound gorilla?
I feel like they're going to do some sorcery.
Right. It's alchemy.
They couldn't do it a couple of years ago, but right now?
Right now. Right. They're at the height of their powers. No, they're the two best quarterbacks in the game.
They are.
They're the two best quarterbacks of this generation. They have a long storied history against each other.
Right, the rivalry is there too.
Right,
yeah.
And there's a ton at stake.
More for Peyton though, right?
I think so.
I would think.
But you know what? Tom Brady's got to win here. Tom Brady's got to win. I think I've seen a little too much of Tom Brady in big spots not winning games. And I know he didn't lose those Super Bowls to the Giants. I know the defense. They scored what, 17 points against the Giants in that Super Bowl? 17 points. And Tom was awfully rattled once Justin Tuck was in his face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tom Brady's got to win. I think he's got a lot on the line, Brian.
I'm Belichick, too, maybe.
Belichick. But, see, you can't touch Belichick.
But why?
Because this is the I'm going to smack the microphone. That sounds great.
What's going on over there?
Because this is the greatest coaching job he's ever done in his life, and this team isn't very good, and blah, 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 blah. I don't agree with it. He's a magnificent coach, but he's still got Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He's still got one of the top three quarterbacks in the game. Oh, what a job he's done. This isn't a very good... He's got Tom Brady.
It is two good games. I will give you that.
Belichick has a lot on the line, too. He does. Hasn't won anything since Spygate. I mean, as far as Super Bowls go, he's won a ton. And they've been in the Final Four, like, every year. Well, it's not a Final Four. It's not basketball. Final Four teams. They've been in the AFC Championship game like a million times. I think he's got a lot on the line too. And then the other game I love, except for the fact that, and they got to stop this. They got to stop with the talking after every play and the. I mean, San Francisco. These are tough teams to watch.
We're getting old, aren't we?
No, we're not. No.
You know?
No.
Ask a 25-year-old.
I have seen that sentiment from all sorts, from all ages.
Okay.
Joe Capp. Joe Capp said it.
He's tired of it?
Yep.
Okay. Does it bother him as much as it bothers us, though?
I think we're clearly
less tolerant of it.
Yeah, maybe.
It makes me feel old because I don't understand it.
There's a little old manism there. There's a little grumpy old man there.
Yeah.
Certainly. But it's bothering a lot of people because it's after every play.
Right.
And it's enough.
It's too much.
Yeah. It's way too much. Okay, we're about to lose the live feed in 90 seconds. We just got a text from our buddy Craig. He's a Chicago Craig. You know.
Sure. Yes.
He's a big-time listener, and he's getting all over me for breaking down the Chargers game. I just took a minute. I just wanted to say I thought that was a dopey game plan. It's the only game I watched. He also wants everybody to know that, much like Elwood, he's a big Bears fan, and the Colts game was rigged. Their Super Bowl is tainted. The officials took the game away from the Bears. Rex Grossman.
All right.
So that's all he wants to say. So, Craig, I hear you. Chicago Craig. I love you, brother. We'll be back next week with an all-new Ready to Unload with Cal and Sam Pete. Thank you for joining us for the live show tonight. Please go to www.rtusports.com to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Special thanks to The Wind Up Shop, Jay Mafali. Go to www.facebook.com. I don't need the www anymore, do I? / Wind Up Shop. And also, of course, Blue Haven, New York City Sports Bar for grown-ups. Go to bluehavennyc.com for details there. We will see you next week on the live show. Cal, say goodbye to the live people.
Goodbye to the live people.
That sounds threatening. Say so long, live people. Okay, and now we are in penalty time, overtime, penalty kicks, injury time. Which apparently is brought to you by my grandmother. I'd like everybody to grab a nice, maybe an espresso, put a little in there, nice.
Maybe. Either that or you just stumbled in your undone tuxedo with a bottle of champagne.
That's right.
The sun's coming up.
With a martini glass.
Right, there it is.
With some night.
I just...
You believe it? What went on?
I'll tell you what. I danced the night away with an 80-pound gorilla. The summer wind came blowing in. I haven't had a night like that since the icing was on the sundae. Why did I turn him into George Steinbrenner?
That's good.
I do a much better Sinatra than that.
That was Sinatra?
Yeah, I was trying. Let me try again here, okay?
Yeah.
Let me try again.
Try again.
Was that Ed Burns again?
Listen.
Why were you doing that like that? Why do you think that impression was Sinatra?
I just got back, baby. Listen to me. You got the bug. We're going to talk sports. Not about all this Nancy crap.
Nancy,
right? Because the Super Bowl's okay. All right? Listen to me, my friend. You got the bug. There was an 80-pound gorilla in the room.
You just combined Frank Sinatra, Joe Franklin, and Mike Francesa.
Nice.
All in one neat package. That was great.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
Let's see Rich Little do that.
Rich Little?
Yes.
Or some other relevant impressionist.
How do you do an impression of Rich Little? That's like painting yourself into a big corner.
People's minds just blown. Who does an impression of Rich Little? Wow. This show got A, 75 years old, and B, completely meta.
Yeah, seriously, we are 30 years.
What does an impression of Rich Little sound like?
Ask Phyllis Diller.
Hold on, I gotta go put on a Bobby Darin record. I'll be right.
Coming up next on the Mike Douglas Show.
Tonight on Dinah. Wow.
The Frugal Gourmet.
I used to watch Dinah. That was good stuff.
You did? What were you, like five?
We had the TV on all day.
Clearly. I can see who raised you.
It was on all the time.
Oh, I remember Merv Griffin was on all the time.
Merv Griffin, I remember.
Mike Douglas in the afternoon.
Vaguely. You can't have rich, full memories of this. You can't.
Oh, I remember Merv Griffin.
That is literally a kinder, gentler time. Those talk shows.
The most cutting-edge
guy was Cavett.
Right, they were great. There were people hanging out.
Cavett Top.
Smoking cigarettes. Cavett Top? Is that one of your bosses?
Right?
Listen, all right, it's like combining Dick Cavett and Carrot Top, okay? You can't do it on a sales meeting. Can't do it.
In a variety show. Doesn't work.
You can't do a prop interview.
He's a Dick Cavett's Carrot Top, that guy. What is he talking about?
You don't think Dick Cavett doing prop comedy would have been hysterical?
Magnificent. Would have been so good.
It would be very dry.
Right?
Very dry. Pretty much anything Dick Cavett's doing can be described as very dry.
He can be exactly. Swimming and it's very dry.
Dick Cavett prop comedy. What I have here is a martini glass.
And that's what it is.
And that's what it is.
Dick Cavett takes dry showers. That guy is dry. Even his showers are without irony. How does he do it?
He makes Bob Newhart look like he needs a towel.
All this because of the music I played. I like it.
Ah, Bob Newhart. Aye.
Aye.
It was Letterman again.
I used to be able to do Bob Newhart.
Really?
Yes, I could.
Oh, that's a Bob Newhart. Okay.
Yeah. The fumbling is good.
My dad had Bob Newhart records, and of him doing the phone bits,
mm-hmm.
and they
it was hysterical.
Really, really good. Really, really good. And yes.
You know, we've talked about
I used to watch that show.
When Monty Python, when Cleese and Palin came out on SNL and no one understood the parrot sketch.
Right. And they did the parrot sketch, right.
Did you see the train wreck when Bob Newhart came out and he did a solo piece on the phone?
Oh, no.
Oh, God. And clearly the audience was just waiting for someone to walk in.
Right, because they're not familiar with
the... They put him at a desk on the phone, and there was a door on the set. And I'm telling you, people were waiting for some sort of guest star to walk on.
What a shame.
It was... Man, from the first line, it was just all the air was out of the room and went straight into the toilet. But he stuck with it. He got all the way through it.
Right.
He's a professional.
And then the confused applause, like, did someone miss their cue? Why was he talking the whole time? When's Kesha going to be on?
Who sounds like that?
That's my wife.
My wife. Sorry.
Waiting for Kesha?
She loves Kesha.
Who?
My wife is an unabashed fan of Kesha and does not hide it.
Is she's out there with it? The t-shirt, the whole thing, like when Kesha's on? Or...
No, I mean, she's age appropriate. She's, you know, she's a 40-year-old woman. She's not going to be wearing a Kesha t-shirt.
Is she, like, into Kesha, be, like, self, like, sort of aware or overly aware of, like, the joke because Kesha's, like, this brainiac woman who markets herself as human trash? Or
yeah,
she just really likes the song?
Both. Well, it's both. She gets what Kesha is trying to do and says the songs are catchy as hell.
Did she say it like that?
She did.
They're catchy as hell, yo.
I don't think she said yo.
She didn't.
I don't think anybody said yo.
Y'all.
No, that's my wife.
My wife.
That's my wife with the y'all. Did you have a fun load in mind? Because if not, I want to our annual talk about the Oscar nomination without knowing anything about movies.
Sounds like it doesn't matter. Fun load in mind.
That's right. I mean, clearly Steve is driving the bus tonight. So I don't know why he prefaces everything with a question.
I'm just going to hit the mute button on my microphone.
Are you making a mute point?
I am going to do another combo impression momentarily.
I was just going to ask you about if you guys knew what the Hall of Game is.
No, you were talking about this today. What it is?
Hall of Game is actually presented by the Cartoon Network. And it's this award show, kind of like the Teen Choice Awards that Nickelodeon does, but it's around sports figures. And they fill this arena with kids and sports figures and their families, and it's a bunch of screaming people, and they give out these sort of People's Choice type awards. But the categories are awesome. Like, oh God, I lost it. Like dynamic duo.
Those categories sound awesome.
You go to Cartoon Network and you click on Hall of Game and you can vote for the dynamic duo. The first one is Peyton Manning and his wide receivers. That's what the dynamic duo. Or Tim Duncan and Tony Parker.
Look, I'm gonna bring up the 80-pound gorilla in the room.
All right.
Why is this on Cartoon Network?
Are they animated?
There are a lot of cartoons are kind of cross-pollinating the show.
This sounds like a bizarre mashup.
It is. You can also vote for Best Boogie.
I'm sorry, what now?
Featuring the kid from Adventure Time, and the kid from Uncle Grandpa, and the kid from Teen Titans. Which cartoon character has the best dance?
Slow down.
But then they go right
Slow
back
down.
To the sports. There's a category, Best Foes Forever.
Who wants to know what language you just gave?
I'm not familiar with any of that.
You don't watch
anything
any of those
that you
shows?
Just said.
On Cartoon Network?
Oh, those are shows.
Yeah.
I
Uncle Grandpa? You never watched Uncle Grandpa? Oh, man. That show was fabulous.
No, I haven't. I never heard of that.
Oh. Stop making up shows, please.
I'm really not.
Stop. PJ has a
lot. Foes Forever. You could vote for Djokovic versus Nadal, or the Heat versus the Nets, or the 49ers versus the Seahawks. And then I guess they'll give away some sort of statue.
It's clearly run by the Cartoon Network. Heat versus Nets.
Is it a live awards show at the end of this? Or
it's a three-hour event.
And it
gets broadcast on the Cartoon Network.
But,
like
numerous
times.
Wow.
Oh, there's thousands of people there.
This is among the most...
Angeles.
It's among the most confusing 4 minutes that I've had in recent memory.
I guess if you just don't know anything that I'm talking about, it is confusing. But it's an award show, and a lot of people know about it, yet no one that I know knows about it.
And you know a lot of people.
And I know a lot of people.
This sounds like the most bizarre game or award show ever, and in that who at Cartoon Network is like, all right, here's what we're gonna do. I got a great idea. Who likes sports? Anyone here?
Right.
Okay. You, Uncle Grandpa. You, who likes sports? Put your hand down. Ben 10. I don't know. Archer, put your hand down, Archer.
They're giving out the I Got Swag Award, and the
Ben 10, is that not a thing?
The nominees, Ben 10 is a great show. The nominees are Tom Brady and Colin Kaepernick. Who's got more swag?
Well, Colin Kaepernick, obviously.
Clearly.
I don't know.
That's racist.
Or gnarliest,
I don't know
gnarliest
what swag
newcomer.
I don't know what gnarliest newcomer. Wait, can I guess?
Yes.
Sean White.
Not a newcomer. He's got a different one.
He's getting a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah, he is. Well, he's like an old-timer.
It's called the Sean White Yassiel Award.
Puig,
the Sean White Award.
Nominated. Tavon Austin. Nominated
that was,
for gnarliest newcomer.
I was going to guess that.
You were going to... Tavon Austin
talking.
You were going to guess?
No, I was going to guess Puig.
Ben 10
eventually.
Is nominated for Most Valuable Cartoon.
Thank you.
Most Valuable Cartoon.
Yes,
MVP.
Along with, let's see if Cal's heard of these, along with Regular Show. Ever heard
I've
of that
heard
one?
Of that. Yes.
Okay, Adventure Time?
Nope.
No.
Oh, my God. how are you not, as nearly 40-year-old men, how are you not watching Adventure Time? It's actually
there's A, because I sleep a lot. B, I can't even watch the news. Not that I would be inclined to, but I there's no watching TV. I have a 5-month-old. Are you nuts? I'm certainly not going to
sit that valuable down time. And you put on the boob tube.
On Adventure Time. Although I do have a friend that does a voice on that.
On Adventure Time?
There you go.
I believe so. PJ, you may know him as Bender.
I know him.
John DiMaggio.
Yeah.
Actually, I wouldn't say I'm friends with him. That's an exaggeration. I met John a couple times in Los Angeles. We have some mutual friends. My friend Matt Smith is an old friend of his. And huge Jet fan, by the way, Cal.
John DiMaggio.
Yep, huge Jet fan. I mean, huge.
Mm-hmm.
He came to see a play that I was doing that Matt had directed, and during my curtain call, when I came out for my curtain call, he did the Jets chant in the back of the room.
Nice.
The back of the theater. It was great.
That's cool.
He's got rather a distinct voice, too.
He's one of the most talented voiceover artists, voice artists working today. He has that movie out right now called... I think it's called I Know That Guy or something like that, that independent documentary on voice artists. DiMaggio works all the time. Not that he has to, because Bender. I think he's on Adventure Time. Am I wrong there?
He is. Yeah, he's the voice of the dog.
Yep, the voice of the dog on Adventure Time. This is a good show. We should be watching this show.
It's great.
Yeah, great.
Come back here with my show.
It's a really big show. Right.
Yeah, I'll abandon this topic after this one last thing, which is they're giving also the award for most awesome mascot.
Is it a team?
Mr. Met up for this?
No.
And then take your award show and stick it where the sun don't shine.
How about the San Diego Chicken?
Ticket with the baby's bathwater.
If the Philly Fanatic is up for this award, I may go protest. I may go
nominees are the nominees are Benny the Bull.
For the Bull? Ugh. Stuff in the ballot box.
Bailey the Lion.
All politics. Bailey the Lion. Who's he the mascot for? The Lion?
The Lions?
Raymond from the Rays.
What?
A mascot I've never actually seen. He looks a little bit like the Lorax.
I thought it was Ray Romano.
I know Ray Romano.
He just shows up.
Hey!
Did you know the Eagles mascot was named Swoop?
The Eagles mascot is named Swoop. I did know that. That's racist, though.
Well.
I mean, obviously.
He'll be there to accept the award.
He may be protesting. Except on behalf of Swoop is Mr. Met. And, of course, Mr. Met doesn't talk, as everybody knows.
Right.
Well, anyway, the Hall of Game will be on Cartoon Network on February 17th, and then repeating probably for the next 2 weeks.
It sounds – I'm actually more than intrigued right now.
It's
My interest
nifty
is more
because
than
because you could put your kid in front of it and – It's an angle into sports that may hook some kids.
Yeah.
Because it's through the Cartoon Network, and they toss the cartoons in with it. And everybody who makes an appearance is obviously very nice to the kid.
You get cartoons into the bargain.
It does. And no one who goes to the podium says something, hugely insulting or stupid.
Or political.
They play along. Or political, right?
So the producers of Ben 10 don't get up there and protest our involvement in Afghanistan?
If they give a Lifetime Achievement Award to Shaq, he's not going to go up there and talk about, the crisis in Sudan and how he's not going to accept the award until the United States changes its policy. He's going to go up to there and say, yo, basketball is great, and everybody will cheer. And he'll say, then you're great, and then they'll cheer again.
Basketball is great.
But so there's no grandpa, uncle going up there and talking about apartheid, right?
Uncle, grandpa. Not grandpa, uncle. The fourth grade is to tear you apart, Cal.
Grandpa, uncle.
I see what I watch.
He buys bootleg copies on Canal Street. Get Grandpa, uncle here.
He's a really old guy.
The voice talent of Ed Burns.
Ben 9 1/2.
Ralph 10.
I'm trying to look for Uncle Grandpa. Grandpa's uncle. Your grandpa's uncle. All right, let's wrap it up. I got to go to bed.
Good night.
Is that all right with you? Oh, by the way, we didn't see any of the movies. We're not going to talk about them.
No, who needs to? Come on.
I haven't seen one of them.
Not
excellent
a one.
Performances by all, great directing, excellent cinematography. You all did a very good job. Now go sit down.
Did you see any of them, PJ, or no?
No.
Well, it doesn't matter. The music's playing, so.
Oh, that's it.
Doesn't matter what you think.
Final unload. I want to talk about 12
Answer
Years a Slave.
Answer the
and
question.
How it's a metaphor.
It's not a metaphor. It's literal. It's very literal.
I think it's a metaphor at all.
I got it on Canal Street. It's called 12 Years a Chef.
Too soon.
12 years, no shave.
Too soon.
He's got a long beard.
Too soon.
It's
been 150 years. Too soon. No, have you seen any of the movies, Peach?
No.
Nor have I.
No.
I've seen one movie in the last year, and it's Frozen.
Right. Which is up for an Oscar?
Let it go.
What's it up?
It's up
Let
for
it
best
go.
Anim-
Best soundtrack?
Animated.
Best Ooh. Animated movie? Best
animated movie.
It's up for most overplayed soundtrack song.
Wow. How do you
coming from the guy that loved it?
I absolutely love it, but I can't believe both versions of the song are in the top 40.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
It's a little overkill.
The Idina Menzel version, which is like really Broadway, and the pop version with Demi Lovato are both charting.
I've only heard the
can't get enough.
I have only heard the, what's her name? The Broadway.
The Broad?
Adina.
What?
Adina.
Oh, the Broadway.
Adina.
I've only heard the one with the Broad.
I thought you said the Broad one.
All right. I've only heard the one with the Broad, sister. And that's the way we do things.
It's a very well done Disney musical.
Thank you.
Oh, boy, and the whole movie was great.
PJ, final number.
We lost Reuben Kincaid today of the Partridge Family. Dave Madden. God, I loved Reuben Kincaid. I don't know why, but he was my favorite part of the show. I'm kind of sad that he's dead. Goodbye, Reuben.
Cal, final unload.
We also lost the professor today, Russell Johnson. 89 years old. They didn't realize he was that old. But
he didn't realize he was that old.
He knew. He knew all too well.
Who's they?
We. I did not realize.
Oh.
I did not realize he was that old.
I thought you said they didn't. No, no one did.
Well, at this point, it leaves Ginger and Marianne. That's who's left.
They're next.
What?
Pay-per-view, cage match.
Sounds as if you're crossing off cast members and going silent.
Well, that will leave these two.
And my final unload, look, I'm going to just try to put the icing on the sundae here. The Olympics is in 2.5 weeks, I think, and I'm starting to get Olympic fever. Yep. It's time for figure skating. It's time to really care about figure skating. And, you know, of course, Olympic hockey, but mostly figure skating.
I think you might just be getting a cold.
That's what it is. You're right.
Take a lozenge. You'll be fine.
We'll see you next week.
Send the boys to get Dawn Wells. Bring me the head of Dawn Wells.
You next, Red.
Good night. Said Ed Burns.